Good evening and welcome. A few announcements. Sign language class on Tuesday and repeats on Saturday. Wednesday we have Crestmont with the nursing home ministry there, and in the evening choir practice and our Bible study and children's programs. The heart meeting that's scheduled for Friday the 1st has been rescheduled for Friday the 8th for the ladies that are part of the heart ministry. And next Saturday morning we have a men's breakfast. After the breakfast they have the usher training session. They ask you to bring your manuals with you for that. I do not know of any other announcements that I'm supposed to be updating you on. There is some work being done on Vacation Bible School and getting that schedule set up. Kelly Sharp is heading up part of that, and we are using Child Evangelism Fellowship. I could remember CEF, but I couldn't place what that stood for. Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF, as providing a lot of the train or some of the personnel for it, too. Let's open with a word of prayer as we continue in our worship and our time together tonight. Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the beauty that you've given us in the weather, the changing seasons as they remind us that though times change, things change, the weather changes, people change, you don't. That there is a point of constancy in our lives, that you and your word are there for us forever. Thank you for the confidence we have in you and that all that you do is right. Be with us as we sing to you tonight, as we encourage each other in word and in music. Father, as we hear your word preached, in Jesus' name, amen.
I have a lesson.
Like this? Is this the way I'm supposed to? All right. Is this better? All right. We've had a few new people come into the building in the last, well, Easter and since then, and actually quite a few before. And what I'd like to know is if you would pray, either as an individual or as a couple, to be part of a team that would follow up on people that come and visit. Now, if you're really crabby, I'm not going to consider you part of this ministry. But if you love God and you desire to love other people, people are coming here for a reason. And if they see that we love God, they're coming back. Okay, and chances are pretty good. If you've invited them and you love God, that's why they're coming in the first place. So I have probably a half a dozen cards already. People who have been contacted, they have filled out a visitor card, but what we want to do is match them up with somebody who would be willing to send a letter, call on the phone, or go see them personally and to encourage them. If they're not saved, to share the gospel with them. If they are saved, to encourage them in their spiritual growth. So that's the first thing I wanted to mention. And the second one, I really thought it was worth more at this moment to pray as a congregation for Rainey than to say what I was going to say. But I want to encourage you in your first love campaign. It's been probably a little over a month since I talked to you last. And if you are interested at all in having in using one of these journals for your spiritual, in your quiet time to write down what the Lord is saying to you, what he's doing in your life, there are some underneath the greeter's table back there. Just grab one and start it. But I have noticed since I've challenged you, it's been sporadic for me. And it's not an easy thing to continue to be faithful to do, because I tend to be a very lazy person when it comes to things like that. I'm finding that it takes real effort to not necessarily have my devotions, but to write them down. But I can usually tell you in the evening what I did for my devotions in the morning if I write them down. So I wanted to challenge you. The scripture that came to mind once again is 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. And your love for other people is going to be very proportional with your love for God. So I wanted to encourage you yet again, and myself yet again, to pursue God with your whole heart. And once again, if you are interested in being a member of a team that follows up people who are coming here and turning in visitor cards, please pray about it. Give me a call or just stop me in the foyer and tell me. I'll write your name down and I'll have a list going, and chances are what I'll do is if I see you on Sunday, I'll give you a card, or else I'll call you on the phone and give you a name, address, phone number, and a little bit of information about the folks, okay? Thank you.
I'm supposed to be on. I was thinking back there, what on the altar didn't belong? It was the modern paper coffee cup with water in it. For the last few weeks, we've been talking on Sunday nights about sharing our faith, some practical insights into it, some thoughts. Last week we went over some of the verses that are sort of critical to know in regards to leading someone to the Lord. Did anybody think about, read, study the Romans Road? Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, anybody? I encourage you to do that. Pastor Don told you a couple weeks ago that next month we're going to do the rest of Psalm 37, and then a month after that we're going to do the Romans Road, several verses that we're going to encourage you to memorize. Week before that, we talked about different methods, different types of evangelism, personal evangelism, church evangelism, confrontational, relational. Tonight, we're just going to talk about one of the hardest parts of sharing the gospel. And wherever you read, you will come across this. Anything in regards to witnessing, you will always see this. The hardest part is transitioning from your conversation into a conversation about the gospel. There's reasons why that is so difficult. Primarily fear. Fear that you're going to be rejected. One of the ways I've been taught to combat that is it's not you being rejected. It's the gospel message that's been rejected, and Jesus predicts that's going to happen many times. But transitioning from that, how do you do that? So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. Does anybody here know who Kevin Bacon is? Kevin Bacon? You can go ahead and raise your hand. Practice, just so you're awake. And he's in a movie, lots of movies, actually. And there's this game. It's called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Has anybody ever heard that? What they try to do is you throw out the name of an actor or an actress, and you try to connect him to a Kevin Bacon through the different films. Now, I play a little bit different spin on it. Mine is 6 Degrees of John Wayne. So you throw out an actor or an actress, and I try to connect them to John Wayne through the different films they've been in. And maybe you're thinking, oh, that would be difficult, you know. But you got to do it within 6 films in connection to that. And then you start to think about it, wait a second, it's not really that difficult. Because, let's see, Robert Duvall is another actor. You familiar with him, heard of him? He co-stars with John Wayne in True Grit. So really, all you got to do is connect somebody to Robert Duvall, and then you can jump right to John Wayne, True Grit. Or maybe you really like Kirk Douglas. He's been in a lot of films over the, he's still alive, 90-some years old, he's been in a lot of films, so you really don't have to connect all the way to John Wayne. You can just connect to, well, Kirk Douglas and John Wayne were in War Wagon, okay? That's all you have to do. Well, I only bring this up and you think, oh, Pastor's just crazy. When you transition to a conversation about salvation, all you really have to do is transition to something that you know you can transition into salvation. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, for me, it's easy, right? Start talking about my job, where I work. Then that sort of leads you right into a conversation of salvation. So we don't have to think, well, how am I going to transition every little conversation, every little aspect of life into salvation? You really only have to be able to transition into a couple. And then you just got to get to one of those. And then you can get into salvation. And I think one of the best ways to transition into the gospel is to talk about a part of your life. Something that's you. Like I said, for me, it's my job. Others, maybe it's something else. And I think this is where life comes in and what I call, and a lot of people call, personal testimony. When you start telling people how you came to know the Lord, what he did in your life, and what he's doing now, then you can start talking to them about Jesus and how he can do something for them. So personal testimony is one of those things, or you're just life. That you can get to that point in the conversation, and most people like to know about you, learn about you, and you can learn about them, and you can sort of transition into the gospel that way. So I think personal testimony is very important. Has anybody here ever written out their testimony of salvation? A few of you? Okay. A long time ago? Oftentimes, I encourage people to write out their testimony. Because sometimes when you're talking about something emotional like that, what happens? You get emotional, start crying, and you lose your train of thought. If you have it written out and you practice it, review it, it'll help you recall it better. It'll help you stay on track, right? Preachers like to go off on rabbit trails. Sometimes in conversations, we go off on rabbit trails and we get away from what we really wanted to talk about. So I encourage people to write it down. I also encourage people to keep it to 3 to 5 minutes. Okay, you transition into your personal testimony in a conversation and you go on for an hour and a half, 2 hours about how you were saved. When do you think the people checked out? After 5 minutes? Well, let's hope they at least maybe stuck around for about 20. But definitely somewhere a long time ago they checked out. So I think it's very important to limit the length of your testimony. And we're actually going to look at the Apostle Paul's testimony. He was in a conversation with a couple men, King Herod and this guy named Festus. And how do you say Festus? F-E-T-U-S? Okay. And he started sharing with them. And you know how long Paul's testimony was? Let's see here. Verse 9 through verse 23. Just a few verses. If we sat down and read it straight, we could probably read it in under 2 minutes. So I think this is a great model of a testimony. And there's going to be three areas that Paul concentrates on his testimony, and it'd be three areas where I would want all of us to concentrate when we're sharing our testimony. It's tell us what your life was like before you got saved. Then tell us how and when you accepted Christ. And then lastly, tell everybody how Christ has made a difference in your life now. So before, how, and then now, okay? So let's look down at these verses, Acts 26. Turn there if you can. Acts 26. Acts 26. We're going to start in verse 9. And verses 9 through 11 is what Paul's life was like before salvation. He goes, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." So he admits right off the bat, I was contrary to Jesus. I hated Jesus. I was doing anything I could do to destroy Jesus' name, hurt the cause of Christ. I just couldn't stand him. And most people, they're not going to say, oh yeah, you know, I was out killing Christians. But if they're not saved, really, truthfully, they are contrary to Jesus Christ when we get down to it. And he says, "This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, I put them in jail," right? Threw them in prison. "Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them." So Paul apparently was on the Sanhedrin or some type of ruling council, and when they took votes, he always voted, put him to death, kill him. Very, very anti-Christ at that point. Verse 11, "And I punished them often. Every place I went, in every synagogue, in every city, I'd track those Christians down and I'd grab them, compel them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them." So it was not a nice man. "I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So he was going around all the towns and villages in Judah, the nation of Israel area. He's got all those Christians. Now we're going to branch out from there and find people in other places that are talking about Jesus. So before he was saved, he was a pretty rotten guy. Verse 12. Now this is what, how and when he was saved. "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for the purpose to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" So this is how and when. I'm on the road to Damascus to arrest some more Christians, throw them in jail. Hopefully we can get them on trial and put them to death, right? And I met Jesus on the road. Pretty awesome and amazing thing. Describes the salvation experience that he had. So he's just sort of modeling us this perfect testimony. And he transitioned from before he was saved to how he was saved to what his life is like now. Verse 19. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." So he tells us how he's different now. Before he was what? Contrary to Christ. Now he's sharing Christ. He's trying to further the cause of Christ. And basically that's all our testimony is. What we were like before Christ. How and when, and then what we're doing now in obedience. And a lot of people, they get discouraged about their testimony. well, you know, I never killed Christians. I never went around. You know, I really wasn't that bad of a person. Yeah, I was a sinner, but I don't have any spectacular stories. Hey, I don't either. I was saved at a Christian school when I was 5 years old. Didn't really have time to go out and do a lot of crazy, wild stuff. Okay? But that doesn't change the fact that the Lord saved you and changed you. So it's still exciting. It's still good. So always be honest when you're giving your testimony. There's no need to exaggerate. The Holy Spirit can use your simple testimony to encourage and convict others. I know it'd be tempting to start telling these stories, you know, I did all this stuff. Well, I thought you said you were five. Yeah, you know, I was. I was one of the worst five-year-olds to ever live. So be honest about your life before Christ. And then how and when you were saved. You need to be careful at this point to avoid theological words. Especially if it's a unbeliever, someone who's never been to church, right? They may not know much. One, a lot of pastors I know, they call it Christianese. Justification, sanctification, dispensationalism. You start using words like that, not only is it going to be hard to sign, people won't know. They're going to check out there too. Okay, so be very basic when you're telling somebody about salvation. Sure, you might have been saved 30 years, you know theology backwards and forwards, and you start saying things, well, you know, the Lord justified me when he shed his blood on the cross. What? So avoid theological words, those, especially the big words, just be very basic. And then now, tell us what you're doing now. And really, that's part of witnessing, right? I'm obeying now by sharing the gospel with you. So you always need to be prepared to give that testimony of salvation to others. I think it's very important. Last week, one of the things we said was there were several on that piece of paper. Here it is. On this piece of paper right here, there's different pre-memorized gospel presentations, and we sort of went over those. The bridge method. I wanted to go over that tonight, and I've been looking for like pictures to put on the screen, and I was even looking at watched several videos, and none of them were good enough quality to really do that. Some night, maybe we'll get a big whiteboard or a chalkboard in here, and we'll go over it. Then there's Evangelism Explosion. That's about an hour long. I got a book in there we can look at sometime. Romans Road is the one we're going to learn as a church. But one of my good friends, Pete Mothershead, that's preached here a couple times, he has a really nice thing. It's the colors of salvation. And he actually wears the little bracelet with all those colors, and people will oftentimes say, oh, what's that bracelet? Because a lot of people have those silicone bracelets, and they wear them for different reasons. Oh, this one's yellow to fight cancer or something like that, or pink is breast cancer, and there's different ones. Well, his has all these different colors, and he said it's surprising the number of people that will ask him the meaning of that bracelet. So what is that? A transition. They're just giving you a way to transition in the gospel. And I just wanted to go over this really briefly. Maybe you want to get a bracelet, or who knows, maybe you'll get a bookmark with these colors, stick it in a book or a Bible, and somebody will, oh, what's the meaning of that? And you can just go through them. And it's very simple. Black is sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, that first verse there. Sin separates man from God, and it leads to what? The wages of sin is what? Death. So that's pretty black. That's pretty bleak. And then red stands for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father, because of his great love for us, sent his son Jesus to cover that sin, to wash away that sin. And God gives, forgives through Jesus' blood by his grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that all is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Blue is baptism. Now, that's not something we need to do to be saved, but it's something that pictures what Christ went through. He was buried, and then he came back to life. And that is a symbol of us, our old sin nature, being buried, and we're come back to new life in Christ. And there's various verses, Titus 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and renewing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And that water and washing is all part of the symbolism of baptism. And then white is our new cleansed soul and self, or purity. We walk in God's word, and we continually just washed clean, and there's some verses there. And green is a symbol of what? Universally. Growth. You guys can see that up there. This wasn't easy. Growth. Testimony. Yeah, this is part of that. Okay? We need to be growing closer to God. Always, every day. Maybe you just have that bracelet on just for you to look at it. These are all the things Christ has done for me. Growing in God. And then last one is this yellow. And that's a symbol of heaven, the streets of gold. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In heaven, where there's these amazing city of gold and streets of gold, and it's just a beautiful place where we're going to be able to spend life forever there. And that's just another one of the things. And I think even students in VBS here over the years, there's like a leather strip, and you put little beads on there, and then you can tie it up. I think there's even a bunch that material in my office. If you are crafty, you can grab one. I'm not very crafty. But some of these things, like I say, they're just tools to help us tell people about Jesus Christ. And what I want to do next week, and this is where it's going to get scary, right? That fear that sometimes is here. What I want you folks to do this week, if you're able, is study some method of salvation. Maybe for you, you write out your testimony, 3 to 5 minutes, or maybe you study something like this, or the bridge. And then what I wanted you to do is pair up, not with a husband or wife, okay? Pair up with somebody and actually lead them to the Lord. You know, pretend, practice. And I don't know if we've ever done anything like that on a Sunday night before, and maybe I shouldn't have said it because next week only 5 people are going to come. But I said it because I do trust you folks. I think I can count on you to actually come and actually try, and I think I can count on you to work. Write out your testimony. If you want this, I will give you this. I will print out some more of these if you need them. There's other tracks out there. The Bridge. You go to a bookstore, find The Bridge, or go out there. We had those Romans Road. Maybe that's what you want to work on. Whatever method you choose, just practice that, learn it, and then next week, lead your friend to the Lord. Okay? Does that sound good enough? Cool? Nobody's going to skip out? Okay. What if they're not interested? Well, what's one thing about this audience? We're all going to be interested. We're all going to be easy, okay? Nobody be contrary. Nobody, like, pull any weird question out to try to throw your person off. Just sort of go along with it. We want to be easy. Jeannie.
I was wondering, I'm going to place an order for you soon. Do you want me to order
some more? If there's none out there,
I'm
That's like a magic pen? How, like, pull those things out of their mouth, you know? Yeah, that'd be fine. And there's another one that we had been talking about recently, to the bridge. It'll be like a little booklet, and it's sort of tan, and the bridge is in big green letters. Yeah, it's... She'll show it to you. She has one. Tina, yes. Okay. Talk to Tina about the bridge tract. Did everybody hear that? I'll repeat it. He made a bracelet, one of those with the beads, with the colors, about 25 years ago, and he was going through the drive-thru at the bank, and the teller said, "What is that?" So he didn't even say anything about it. He just dropped it in there and gave it to her. And then the next week, he came back in there, "What's this bracelet, you know?" And he had all this written out and gave it to him, obviously, because he's deaf, he's not going to be able to talk real well. So he wrote it out and gave it to him, and then the third week he came in, the person was saved. Didn't even have to say a word. Okay? That to me is encouragement. Okay? If we can lead people to Christ without even saying a word, maybe you and I, who can communicate with words, maybe we can do it. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Kelly. Anything else? We got about 2 minutes. Anybody else? Pastor Don?
There are a bunch of kits that are already pre-made downstairs.
Okay. They're already, the bracelets are already made.
Some of the bracelets are made, some of them are kits.
Okay. Well, maybe those were the ones in my desk. They were in my desk drawer for years. I might have finally cleaned them out. Okay. Okay. You're going to do that? That's what you're going to use to lead someone? That's great. That's great. I don't really care how you do it, as long as it does have some scripture in it. Okay? So you might have to memorize a verse, or you do what I do in my Bible next to Romans 3:23, that I make it easy for myself. I only have to remember one reference. Then I write Romans 6:23. That's where I go next, and then next to that I have Romans 5:8, so then I know where to go then, and next to 5:8 I have Romans 10:9 and 10 written. So if you're really nervous, you just sort of do that. Tina. Yeah, great, great idea. Well, let's pray. Oh, one other thing. we had quite a bit of leftovers from the basketball tournament yesterday. And it was two big crock pots worth of Sloppy Joe mix, and there's vegetables and apples, and there's tea and lemonade, I think, still down there, and orange juice. And if that all sits, and there's buns, if that all sits down there, it'll be no good. And I don't know if there's quite enough for all 40, 50 of you that are here, but there's probably enough for 25, 30 or so. What? You think there's enough for everybody? Okay, Anne went down and stirred it up. From her woman's perspective, there's enough for everybody. Okay? Okay. So we want to invite you to that. There's no reason not to just hang out here. Half of you go out to eat somewhere anyway, so we can head down there and eat the leftovers if you're so inclined. Pardon me? Sorry, down in this room, downstairs, in the fellowship hall, the main room, all the tables are set up. All we got to do is grab some plates and sort of take the food out of the kitchen and set it on the table, and we can clear it out. So we'll pray for that food. You can meander down there. It's not going to be, you know how a lot of our dinners here are all really nice and formal, and all the ladies have got everything all nice and perfect. It's not going to be one of those nights. Just sort of make yourself at home, and we're just family, right? So go in there and have at it, and we'll have some fun. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity just to chat. We're thankful for the testimony we heard regarding that wordless bracelet. And Lord, I pray that each of us would have the strength and find the time to really concentrate and think about one way to share our faith, present the gospel. And then, Lord, may we get over a little bit of that fear next week as we share with each other. Father God, we also thank you for the food that has been provided, and Lord, just bless it to our bodies. And watch over our fellowship tonight as well. In Jesus' name, amen.